So I remember one of our clients came in, they had an apartment that they had invested in. They put $100,000 into the apartment deal, had about 70% leverage, which is pretty typical. You know, the person that put the deal together got some debt, 70%. That 100,000 turned into 200,000 over about 5 years. This is actually pretty common. Money doubles. And so when they were getting ready to sell this thing, they found out about the EQRP and they found out about UBIT tax and they said, oh crap. And so what happened is their accountant said, yeah, you're going to have a tax bill. You're making 100,000, but you're going to have about a $25,000 tax bill and you're going to have to pay it.
Have you ever asked yourself what can go wrong when investing in apartments? What challenges do investors face when dealing with such a large asset class? Well, on the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast, we place expert professionals on the hot seat, ask them the tough questions that may be running through your mind, all while removing the fluff that comes with apartment investing. We aim to put your mind at ease while showing you that investing in apartments is the way to financial freedom. And now for your host, Mark Caesar.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast. I am Mark Caesar, and today we have Mr. Damian Lupo on the hot seat, ready to share his amazing story. Damian, thank you, sir, for being here.
Mark, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. So we don't know each other much, but that's a good thing. So I think this episode will be just amazing, just to connect and get to know you. But for those who don't know who Damian Lupo is, feel free to give us a background and an excerpt on who you are.
You know, it's funny to ask. It's like asking somebody what do you know, and so like we think, well, I don't know anything, and so I guess what I tell everybody is that I'm an entrepreneur, and that's I can't help it. If you're really truly an entrepreneur, you just keep doing it. I started doing that 35 years ago when I started a business and hired my parents up in Alaska. And it just went from there, started 60 plus companies, written a dozen books, had venture capital funds, do a lot of investing, and I run a retirement company now. And it's all of this is around solving problems, because what I am at my core is a financial emancipator, meaning I believe that money is modern day slavery and it's what keeps people trapped. And so my job is to break the shackles that people have. And I do that through different tools, different companies. And that's my mission, man, to break a million people's financial shackles, break them out of financial bondage.
That is a very big goal, a million people. So how do you plan on actually accomplishing that task?
Well, so my job is to teach people how to fish. It's very biblical. It's not about handing people a stimmy check. I'm not a Democrat in Congress. I'm literally somebody that believes that you're going to care about your money and you're going to care about your life more than anybody else will. And so my job is to give you tools and to give you confidence and to allow you to borrow the confidence I have in you. Most people aren't really taught or trained or they don't really have any background in believing they can create a life. They're told, here's what your limits are. I'm in Alabama, and unfortunately in the South, there's a lot of people that believe that there's a certain caste system, like you're born into something or there's only so much you can do. I mean, anybody has the capacity to create unbelievable wealth and freedom, and very believable. Like they could do it, but we don't really have the examples around us. What we see is People Magazine, or I mean, I don't know what people, we see Facebook, we see all the highlight reels. And the reality is we need examples so that we start going, oh, okay, I can actually do that. That's not just pie in the sky. That's normal. Those are my friends. Like if we start shifting our environment, my job is to help people get into those environments and tweak their thinking so that they start realizing that it's a choice. It's not just some hope. You're not going to smoke hopium and get rich. You know, it's not going to fall out of the sky and hit you in the head like in The Secret. Like you got to go out there and do the work. And unfortunately, Mark, a lot of people think work is a four-letter word. Like, oh my God, I got to go work. And that's why people don't make it, because they don't stick with it. They're not committed. They have to be truly honey badgerish. You got to commit to something. You got to be fearless, decisive, committed, and resilient. Those are the four pillars of being a honey badger. There's a reason this honey badger is named the most fearless, craziest animal in the world. That's what we all have to find, is our inner honey badger.
This is true. I totally agree. So what is the relationship? What is the issue that we see people are having with money and with working from your perspective?
People are too short-sighted. I mean, one of the reasons that China is kicking America's ass is because China has a 100-plus year outlook and America has a quarterly outlook, or this week. What's happening? It's Saturday coming up. What's on football? Like, we just look at things very short term. We're basically a bunch of crackheads looking at the next election cycle or the next weekend. And we don't plan long term. So we don't actually, there's this thing called delayed gratification. And unfortunately, most of America is trained to gratify themselves with a button push on everything. Amazon has not helped. It's accelerated this. Uber Eats, all these different things that we have access to now. And so we don't think about not doing something today so we can have something tomorrow. We think about, how do we get the thing today? How do we match our neighbors? How do we match what we see on Facebook? So I think a big part of this is having a vision and first a life that you design. It's not a default life. And then simply saying no to things today so that you can have whatever it is you envision for the future. That's really what it is. And then in the middle is all the work. But people are, you know, you can work between now and 10 years from now and end up in the same place. It's a damn merry-go-round. But the difference is when people say, okay, I'm gonna not go out and buy the brand new car every 2 years. I'm actually gonna take that money, I'm gonna save it up and invest it. I'm gonna learn how to invest. I'm not gonna just hand it to a financial advisor that's gonna tell me just, you know, go away and come back in 20 years and you might have more. I'm gonna go out and figure out how to do some real estate investing. I'm gonna figure out how to invest in the cryptocurrency space, whatever it is. It's the work. Like, I see a lack of people really working. And the problem is, it's not just working hard that's going to get you there. If that was the case, then ditch diggers would be billionaires. But you've got to be really thoughtful about what tools you need to learn how to use and then practice those tools, not just practice what you did yesterday. Because if you practice yesterday, you'll get the same thing yesterday, tomorrow. So there is a shift in what you're doing. And then you have to keep stretching beyond where you are into a different type of person and then look back and go, wow, I don't recognize that person. But this is why it's hard. This is why most people don't do it, because it can be painful.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I mean, I call it the microwavable success, the overnight success, which is what a lot of people are looking for. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
Man, Mark, with a microwave, we have microwave society. It's not even about typing 100 enter for, you know, a minute of microwaving. We want to have one button. You push the one and it does it. It starts 1 minute. Like, we don't want to do anything unless it's one freaking click. And look at Amazon. What is it? One click buying.
One click.
So we don't even have to think. We just like a bunch of monkeys just clicking buttons and things are showing up and it's Christmas every day. Like, we have to start putting some blocks in place, because these algorithms, if you watch Social Dilemma, you realize these algorithms are being put in place with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Amazon to get things in front of us that suck us in. It's literally a crack addiction, and there are withdrawals because you start worrying, am I going to miss a ding? Am I going to miss a new opportunity? Is there a new product? Like, what do I need? And there's always something that you need when you go into those environments. So you have to be mindful, man. Those things will suck you in and take your life.
I agree. I've been a victim of it as well. So I'm glad I was able to finesse my way out. So I totally agree. You know, just reading your bio, man, I saw, I love the story on from the bio. I see that you do have a real estate background. You know, tell us a little more about your background in real estate.
My background started when I watched an infomercial and read Rich Dad Poor Dad before people even knew what that was. This is back in the late 90s. And I know that some people still, I was out at dinner the other night, and my friends, when I mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad, she said, what's that? And I said, are you kidding me, man? You're like the one person in the world that has not read this book. There's 40, 50 million copies. It's the number one book of all time in personal development. It's second to the Bible.
Yep.
She's like, who? And I was like, oh man, what? But so, you know, I guess 50 million isn't 8 billion. So anyhow, I read this book and I watched some infomercial and it talked about real estate. And I was like, wow, get rich fast with quick turn real estate, Ron LeGrand. And I don't even know if Ron's still alive, but the crazy part is I said, all right, I can do this. So I bought a house on a credit card, and that was my entrance into real estate. And then I went out and bought a bunch more houses using other people's money, creative techniques. I basically used my brain because I didn't have any money. And I always just shake my head when somebody goes, I can't do it. You know, must be nice. You have money. I'm like, I created the money with my brain, not because I spent 20 years saving it up, but I figured out how to solve problems. And when I did that, I was able to go and buy that first year. I think I bought like 25 houses that year. And not one of those was a house that I went and signed on a mortgage. I had to be creative. I had to create owner financing terms. I had to do things with my mind. Well, how did I do that? I went to seminars. So I basically took my credit card, bought the first house, and then I took my credit card and I went and used it. I used Chase or Bank of America to finance my education at a weekend seminar, not at some dumb Yale Harvard thing that'll give me a piece of paper, that'll give me a job. I was investing in my ability to be free. Jobs won't get you free. You got to do something different. And besides that, they further trap you with all this, you know, the debt that most people take on. So my process was really going out to the seminars. Mark, it always makes me laugh when people go, "My God, you're spending $5,000 for 2 days." I go, I'm not buying 2 days of information. I'm buying a year or two of hacking. Like, it would take me a year or two or 10 to learn what I'd learn in those 2 days by people that are actually doing it. And the person that says, "I'm not going, I'm going to watch football or whatever they're doing," you know what? That's the reason that they're still doing the same thing 10 years later. And the people that go to those seminars that take action are multimillionaires. That's the difference. They, you know, go to the right places, learn the right thing, and then take action because you modeled somebody that's already done it. It's not complicated.
Yeah, that is a great story, man. So what else happened throughout the tenor of your investing? Like, I'm pretty sure you've experienced the highs and the lows. Let's get into a little nitty gritty at the lows here.
Yeah, you can describe my real estate as Six Flags. I mean, you get on the ride and then you start going up, 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 up. And then all of a sudden that damn thing goes straight down. And that's what happened for a lot of us in 2007 and 2008 when that roller coaster, it didn't just go down, like it went off the tracks and into a lake. And we were basically hoping that we didn't die and drown. So I built up a big real estate thing, had stuff in 7 different states and had a $20 million portfolio and went from 20 million to negative 5 million in 12 months. So $25 million dollar swing. And I learned a lot. I learned that if your self-worth and net worth are the same thing, you are toast when your net worth goes to negative 5 million. And so I had to unwind those. And that was part of the process. I see a lot of people going, "Man, if I can just get a million or two, I'm good." And I was like, "No, you're not. You won't be. Trust me, it's not about getting the number. It's about building the muscle." And people don't really understand that, or they want to just have the money handed to them. Like, "Just give me money, government, Uncle Joe, come on, give me some money, stimmy checks, here we go." I was like, "Ugh." It's like you go in and you're stupid enough to buy AMC stock because it's a dumb company, and it goes up and it goes up by, you know, 10 times, and you think that you're super smart. It was a lucky roll. And so people do that and they think they're actually smart and wealthy. And I'm like, "No, you just got some money and you're not smart. You're actually probably dumber because of your success." I got dumber when I made more money because I thought I was invincible and it was all me. And when I lost it and had to start over, I realized that I was definitely responsible for everything, but you have to start disconnecting a little bit and realizing that the part of the process that really matters is when you lose and you learn from that. People think if they lose, then they're a failure. And I always like to repeat what I've heard people say, that there are winners and learners. And the winners don't oftentimes learn anything. So the ones that flop, if they learn, they will whipsaw and whip past the people that are always winning because they have a stronger foundation. Winners don't really have a foundation. They just have a lot of juice and a lot of adrenaline and eventually that fades out and you're like, well, what do I base this on? That was where I was at in 2008 and 2009. And when it crashed, I had to start over. And that's where it switched from just money into a focus on breaking the shackles. It was for other people, because I will tell you the most valuable thing is to figure out a mission that is about serving other people. And when you do that, I hear people saying, "I just want to help people." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's got to be bigger than that, man. It's got to be more focused. It's got to be something. You can't just be hairy fairy. Like, you got to really, really think, what is the problem? Like, helping people's cool, but like, you know, what does that mean? You know, make somebody a cookie? Like, you know, what are you actually going to do?" And that's money to me is the biggest problem, because it's our modern day slavery system. That is the problem. We don't understand money. We get mad at everything else. We get mad at people because they're Republicans or Democrats. We get mad at people because, you know, like, there's this whole thing about last year we had these riots, and I was like, "This isn't about race, man. This is about bad money. It's about fake money." And I don't think people really understand that they're being stolen from and ripped off. I mean, the Federal Reserve took their printing presses and created 40% of the currency in the system in 18 months. And that means that everybody that has done anything their whole life, that's earned money, traded their time, their sweat, their blood for those dollars, had about 40% of their wealth, their purchasing power, taken from them by these complete tyrannical pricks at the Federal Reserve. So that's that's what it's all about. It's finding that thing that you can really make move the needle on for other people. And what happens is, as a side effect, your life will grow. It'll expand. The wealth happens. It's just, it's like a law. The universe has laws. This is one of them.
That is amazing, man. I mean, from 2008, from 20 million to negative 5 million, I'm pretty sure people would just end it all right there. But
yeah,
resiliency and yeah.
That's where people jump out of windows. And I mean, and when you go through that kind of stuff, it's pretty dark. Like, it's a dark time to go to negative. I was sleeping in my car for a while. Most people don't know that. And that sucks when it's in the winter and you're up in the mountains and you know, you can't quite get your car to turn on and you're sitting there shivering and you're laying in a suitcase. Like, most people aren't willing to go through that. They'd rather just have a ho-hum average life, tiptoeing safely to death's door. And then they get there and they wake up one day and they go, this is my last day. And damn, I'm regretting what I didn't do. That's what we regret. I don't regret anything that I've done. It's if I look back and say, oh man, why didn't I ask that one girl out on a date? Or why didn't I do that thing? So I always get asked, why would you, like, what do you say to yourself 20 years ago when you had hair? And I'm like, well, you know, I tell myself, go, stop thinking, start moving. And then make sure you've got people around you that will give you feedback, meaning a mentor that you're paying to tell you the truth. Not your cousin, not your dog, not your spouse, but somebody that you're investing your dollars in that will tell you exactly the reality of what is true. That's the biggest question. When I wrote Reinvented Life in 2012, the crux of the book was based on several years of therapy and coaching where I dug down into the truth, asking what that one question, what is true? All of us could do better in our life by asking what is true and then keep asking over and over and finding the truth, which is not at the surface. It's not in the first or second layer. It's 50 layers down. It takes time to get there. And when you get there, you find the calm and the peace and the foundation of who you really are. And that's where everything can change, because that's what you have to work on. It's those that core, the virtues and your values, and really figure that out.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. I actually undergone through a similar strategy with one of my mentors. He asked me, you know, what is my why? What is my burning why? And I gave him a generic why. And from there, you know, he just asked me why. He just kept asking me why. And I learned that, you know, he got that strategy from Dean Graziosi to just go deeper. There is something within you that you're missing the point. A lot of people just look at the surface, but, you know, you went deep and you found out your true why and your burning desire of why you want to do what you want to do. So that is very awesome. And I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, and here's one of the things that people miss. People will say, well, I want to replace my income. And I go, okay, cool. And to your point and what Dean did, why? Well, because then I'd have enough money to be able to live my life. Okay, why? Do you hate your work? Because what people don't realize is that work matters. If you just stop working and you're just lounging, the universe is going to be done with you. It's why most men in America die within 3 years of retiring, because the universe said, look, you're just taking up space, man. We don't want you to consume. Get out of here. And you die. So you got to have meaningful work that matters. So when people say, I need this number, I go, but why? What are you going to do with that time? What are you going to do? Because if I hand you $1 million or you hit the lottery or you retire with this number, yay, for about 2 seconds. And then what? And when you're doing meaningful work, it's the fulfilling activity involved that really matters. The question is, do you have the time for the fulfilling work, or do you hate your life because your work sucks? And that's why most people are trying to figure out this exit. They're like, I don't like the man. The man has got his thumb on me. And, like, you know, people, they want more time. You can do that. You got to design it. And then you got to do the work. And it's a process, but it really does come down to a choice. And you know, to your point, why? And then why is the why? Like, go keep going deeper and figure it out. It's not a number. That is not the why. Because I want to have enough income to replace my income from passive investments. That's not wrong answer. Like, that's not it. There's something beyond that. You want to actually be there with your kids. But here's one of the funny things about kids. No kid wants you to be existing just for them. It's too much pressure for a kid. Like, if you think, oh, I want to spend all my time with my kids, that is too much pressure for a kid, because then all of a sudden it's like the kid's going, man, all you do is just, you're like here all the time. And you want to make sure the kids have somebody to look up to that's doing something meaningful in their life. It doesn't mean being a bad parent is a good idea or like not showing up. But I think sometimes people go, I just want to have all my time for my kids. Well, man, your kids need to see that you do something beyond just them. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, I, it's important to figure out the work that matters for you. And that's super personal.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've just been conditioned that way, you know, throughout years of bad conditioning where it's okay, get the $1 million and you're financially free, you know, all of this jargon and mixed signals that we're getting from gurus and so forth. So I think people have just accepted that fact and just like, yeah, okay, I want the $1 million, but why? Like, what does it serve you? Yeah, so yeah, man, it's crazy, but I'm appreciative that you're looking to break that stigma. We need more people to you know, just push us over the hump and have us thinking a little further than just, you know, as you mentioned, what's in front of us right now. So let's dive into your book. You've written a few books, a half dozen books on personal finance, investment, and retirement strategies. What led to you writing those books?
Here's why I write books. I write books to figure out if I actually know what I'm talking about. And it's to clarify thinking. So sometimes people write a book because they like, I want to teach something and be able to serve more people. You write a book, you can serve more people. What if you have the same conversation 1,000 times, you could also write the conversation down in a book and then hand it out and make it more of a system that serves more people. So you write a book, I write books to clarify thinking and to give that information to more people, make it more accessible to the world. And because we all have the same amount of time, you got to find ways to deliver more. And it's called creating artifacts. So that's a big part of why I write the books. I wrote the QRP book to give people an option outside of Wall Street and mutual funds. And that's the primary business that I spend my time with. It's giving people the ability to take their retirement money and invest in real estate, invest in crypto, invest in gold and private equity and all these things. And so the book was really just saying, okay, here's what it is. Here's how you do it. And it's a tool for people. So Reinvented Life was here's a tool, how you blow up your life, lose $25 million, start over and ask better questions. Everything that I'm writing is part of breaking those shackles. So that's the intention. I think sometimes people write books because they say, I like to write. Well, okay, cool. I write with an intention to give more people more tools and more freedom. That's why I write.
Awesome. Definitely. That is awesome. So let's dig a little deeper. EQRP. Tell us a little more about that, like conception and what brought it about outside of.
Yeah, there's a lot of retirement options out there. And what most people do is they do what they think everybody else is doing, what they're supposed to do. They have a 401k or they have an IRA. Maybe they have a self-directed IRA and they're just kind of going along as a default. And they don't really know that there is a totally different option. The EQRP is something that I built years ago, and it was built so that it gave people an actual tool that would work with them, and it's flexible as they go along. It's a retirement account that allows you to buy things like real estate, like crypto, like gold, like private companies, Jimmy John's sandwich shop, like whatever you want, you can use it. And it not only gives you control, it gives you liability protection. It allows you to grow. And people don't realize that most tools out there have limits on them. They just go, oh, this is my default. And so I built this thing to take advantage of the tax code and had the IRS approve it. So the IRS is happy with it. And so now people that come across it, they're like, why would I do anything else? And the question is, why haven't I done something else? Well, most people haven't done an EQRP yet because they didn't know it existed. And it's an enhanced qualified retirement plan. So it's a type of 401k that gives you control. It gives you, your employees, whoever, everybody gets control to choose what they want to invest in. You're not just stuck in Wall Street, which is really good for Wall Street when you're stuck in it, but it's really not good for you. And this is the ultimate tool. There's nothing that comes close to it. IRAs, self-directed IRAs, none of those. I mean, give you a really great example because a lot of people are watching, listening, thinking about real estate. People that invest IRAs in real estate are generally going to have a taxable event while they're still invested in with their IRA before they even pull the money out to spend. They're going to have a tax, and oftentimes it's 30 to 37% of their gains in that investment, and that's that's a big problem that people don't know about. It's called UBIT tax. EQRPs are exempt from it, so you have to really dig in and have experts in your life that will tell you the truth. IRA custodians will not tell the truth across the board, almost without exception. They won't give you any type of guidance. They'll say, "Oh, go talk to your accountant." Well, the accountants don't even know about this stuff because most of them aren't experienced in this niche. So people are just left to their own devices. And you go to the internet and Google's not your friend. Google tell you whatever you type in. It's like an echo chamber. You know, oh, I want to know about this. What's the answer to this question? It's going to tell you based on what it thinks you want, not the truth. So people blog. Well, you can have any opinion you want, put it on the internet, and all of a sudden now it's written fact. And Google starts picking it up. So this is where it's really important to make sure you have the right team, a team that's going to give you the truth. Comes back to the mentors, comes back to the professionals. They'll be honest with you. They don't have an agenda to try to push you in one direction or another other than to the truth. And that's what we do, is give people the truth. And if they decide to do business, great. If they don't, they have the truth. They don't just have a pitch. That's a problem with the financial system. It's mostly about pitches.
Man, that is crazy, because I just learned something new. I did not know that. You know, I'm in real estate myself, and when I'm speaking to people, I typically tell them, okay, you know, use your 401k, use your IRA and stuff like that. But to know that the UBIT tax, you still get taxed on your capital gain, on your gains, that is crazy. Like, what, if you don't mind me asking, like, what is an example that for the people in the back that don't understand the whole jargon of taxing, like, can you elaborate on an example?
Yeah, I'll give you an example of one of the, it's actually very common. So somebody invested in a syndication for an apartment. We have this happen every week. Somebody comes in with this example. So I remember one of our clients came in, they had an apartment that they had invested in. They put $100,000 into the apartment deal, had about 70% leverage, which is pretty typical. You know, the person that put the deal together got some debt, 70%. That 100,000 turned into 200,000 over about 5 years. This is actually pretty common. Money doubles. And so when they were getting ready to sell this thing, they found out about the EQRP and they found out about UBIT tax, and they said, oh crap. And so what happened is their accountant said, yeah, you're going to have a tax bill. You're making 100,000, but you're going to have about a $25,000 tax bill, and you're going to have to pay it. So they said, well, okay, what do we do? And then they heard about us, the EQRP. They switched their investment from their IRA, their self-directed IRA, into an EQRP. They got to keep the whole $100,000 of profit because the EQRP is exempt. So literally, it was like a 15-minute phone call that saved them $25,000. That happens every week, sometimes every day, where somebody is in that situation. You should not be using an IRA for a leveraged real estate deal. It's just because you can fix it and pay zero tax. Why the hell would you pay all this tax? Again, I talk about choice. Man, taxes is a choice. It's not required. I mean, look at Peter Thiel. He has a $5 billion Roth retirement account. He is not paying taxes on that. He never will. Wow. That was a choice. He started with $2,000, turned it into $5 billion. Not saying that there's something easy about that. I'm saying that you can choose to pay taxes. And there's a reason that Congress gets all wound up and the progressive Democrats want to go try to change these things because they get mad at people making too much money. I mean, it's crazy, but those are the rules. And if you follow them, you can literally not pay taxes.
That is crazy. I mean, like you said, a simple phone call can save you $25,000.
$25,000. I mean, what can you do? $25,000. Like, for most of America, that's about what they take home after taxes. And exactly, think about that, one call could put as much as most people. Okay, maybe it's half. Okay, so 6 months of your life that you trade for money, that you take home. One call provides 6 months. I'm going to give you 6 months of your life with one phone call. Just think about that. Like, that's a pretty important phone call.
That definitely is life changing. So why is it that, you know, CPAs or tax professionals don't tell us these things, or, you know, working professionals these things?
There's the tax code, 70,000 pages. I mean, there's only so much you're going to know. I mean, I have these conversations with my team at Provision Wealth, the accountants, and they are super smart, but they have to look stuff up too, because it's so much. And so that you... Most accountants, quite frankly, they're overworked, underpaid, and they're trying to keep up with everything. So they're going to focus on the big stuff. Most of them don't even know anything about retirement accounts other than, yeah, I think you can put $6,000 into an IRA, and yeah, 401ks, max that thing out, reduce your income tax. That's about as much as that most of them really know. Some of them know more of this stuff, but that's because they geek out on it. Usually it's not something that people are like, oh, I need to study this. This is important, because it's not a big revenue creator, and there's only so much of the code you're going to read. That's why they don't know. So this is why you have different people. And people will say, well, why doesn't the neuroscientist or their neurosurgeon know about feet? Well, there's this specialty. If you have a foot problem, you have your uh, you know, foot doctor.
Podiatrist. Yeah.
Podiatrist. Right. And so you have to bring the team together. And that's part of the equation. Wealthy people have teams, period. There are no exceptions. And so if you're trying to figure out why you're not wealthy, it's because you don't have a great team yet.
That is really mind blowing. You know, again, for those who are listening, key terms here, have a strong team, make that phone call and learn what the rich are doing and just do it. Because again, the rich want to keep their money. They don't want to spend it. They want to see how they can multiply it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that one of the things about a team is to hire and bring in team members that are at the level that you're going to be at. Do not hire people at the level that you're at. If you're hiring accountants that work with people, let's say you make $50,000, let's say make $100,000 a year, and you hire an accountant that works with people that make $100,000 a year, you're going to keep making $100,000 a year because that's the information they're going to have to tell you. If you say, okay, who's your average client? They go, well, they make $1 million+ a year. That's great. Because you're going to start thinking about things the way that $1 million earners think, and you're going to have different strategies. $1 million earners have different strategies than $100,000 earners. So because they have more assets, they have more things they're doing, they're investors. So it's really making sure that your team is at the level of where you're going, not the level where you're at.
Very nice. Well said. Man, that's a lot of information. I know we can't knock this out in half an hour. We'll definitely have to bring you back on the show just to elaborate a little further. But what's next for you, Damien?
It's more. I used to say it was more eating. It was more hedonism. It was more consuming. For me, it's more impact. It's more people's shackles broken, because every time I'm in the process of doing it, it's fulfilling. Every time it happens, it makes me smile. And it's like when you look at guys like, whether it's Kobe or Michael Jordan or these people, when they win, they go, that's awesome. Okay, let's start training for next time. It's all about that process. And that's what it is for me. It's all about the process of continuing to expand the impact, because that's what our lives are about. It's about impact. It's about experience. And so one of the things that I will tell you that I see a lot is people are chasing the next shiny object. They bounce from thing to thing. They don't go deep. And for me, it's just continuing to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's where the juice is, man. It's not about knowing 50 different things. It's about knowing that one thing 50 times better than anybody else. It's about just being epic. And the world needs more epic. It doesn't need more people that chase everything that's shiny and flying around. Like that's like a bunch of drunk squirrels chasing shiny nuts. Like that's what we look like.
Definitely, definitely. Any tips you have for people who are considering, you know, jumping into real estate or, you know, tax or anything like that you want to share with them?
Yeah, I would make sure most of the money that's liquid in America is in retirement accounts. And so if you're doing real estate, you want to know if you can use yours. And you also, when you're doing it, maybe you're going to put a deal together and you want to get other people. Most of their money is going to be in their IRAs and 401ks. So you really want to understand the options. So I would tell everybody the best thing to do is learn a little bit more about this. You can do that. Text the word EQRP to 72,000. Get a copy. That way you can get a copy of the 15-page report on what we've been talking about. That's a great place for you to start, and it'll give you a tool that you might be able to use yourself, but I guarantee you, you're going to know somebody that can use this tool and create more freedom and pay less tax. So just simple, your next step, one action step, text the word EQRP to 72,000 and take that step right now.
Awesome. Now, one final question for you. If you had to start over, but with the knowledge that you have now, what would you have done differently?
I think the first thing I would have done is I would have hired the right people. And people go, how do you hire people if you don't have any money? Well, you know what? Great people make you money. And so if that means you go and you say, okay, I'm going to borrow, or I'm going to go raise some money, and that's going to be how I'm going to start. There's a ton of money that's looking for a home. And if you have the right idea and the right team, that money will go into it. The right idea without the right team, money doesn't chase it. If you go, I got this great idea. People come to me all the time. I got this great idea. I need $100,000. I'm like, yeah, but it's just you. Like, show me the team. Who's going to execute on this? And so I would have had an admin immediately. I would have had a bookkeeper immediately, and I would have had a mentor immediately. And there, because you've got to make sure that you're not doing all the things that chew up all your time. You got to make sure you know your numbers, and you got to make sure you have the truth. So the trifecta is where you'd start, and you can start that. Then take a ton. I mean, you can have a part-time bookkeeper, a mentor, and an assistant, and your life will fundamentally change. I mean, you know, for less than $100,000 a year, with those three people, you should be able to make at least 5 to 10 times what it costs you for that little team.
Nice. Very well said. Me, everyone, you heard it here first. You've definitely heard it here first from Damien himself. A team is crucial. Mentorship and just get out. Stop thinking that work is bad. You have to hustle. You have to grind for it. You have to really put yourself out there. And if you're trying to be successful, you really have to work for it. It's not going to happen overnight. Nothing microwavable. Let's stop. I forgot how Amazon put it. You know, just one click and you'll have it right in front of you. But yep. Damien, man, I appreciate you being on, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. Of course, we're definitely going to try to get you back on the show because I think there's a lot more that we can unravel. But again, I appreciate the time and the platform is always open to you. So whenever you want to jump on.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in. And I hope you've gotten massive value from this episode. But before you leave, subscribe, download, and leave us your 5-star review as we want to continue pumping you with massive value and content on the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast. Until next time.